holiday safety over their trip.
Amen.
God, protection over them as they travel. We thank you, God, for those of us that have been here, for your watchful eye over us, your hand and your covering over us, for health and life in our bodies, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to get marching. This morning, we're going to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart. It's so near and dear to most people's hearts that it's called love. And people put a little heart-shaped thing over love. Love does not have anything to do with the muscle in your body that pumps blood. Love has everything to do with an act, a desire, an action that we do.
Amen.
It's not an emotion. I hate to burst the bubble of all of the romantic people. You know, I like a good romance too. I'm living one. But as far as the idea that the romance and the emotion is the epitome of love, it has nothing to do with it. That's a great emotional thing. And that's why you ever see somebody watch a romance movie? It could be a man. I'm not going to pretend it can't be. It could be a woman. But it's less likely the man's crying during the romance movie.
Yeah.
But they could both watch it. But you ever seen a woman cry during one of those movies? Or a guy? I don't want to tear, it might be Miguel. We don't know. But when you know why? It's because those are strong emotions. You're connecting that emotion to the emotional part of that romance or those acts of romance. And you're like, blank did blank for whoever. And, so romantic. And it's this act of romance that we all fall in love with. So most people get this fantasy before marriage and they think, romance. And that's not what love actually is. Love is not the emotion. Love is the action. The Bible actually says in one of the most famous verses in the Bible, for God so loved, the L word, right, loved the world that he gave. This is what love does. One of the characteristics of love. If you love somebody, it doesn't mean you're always going to be like, oh, come here, I just love. That's not love. I know that because not every father has that, but most mothers do. You know, like I say this most of the time. If your kid's throwing up, most dads are like, to the bathroom with you. Most moms will be like, come here, I'll take you there. Not the same thing. But it doesn't mean that they don't both love the child. We're just not built quite the same way how we handle things like that. Not most of us anyway. Some guys might get past that. I was just not one of them. I was one of those like turn you towards the bathroom and be like, once you're clean, come back out and see me. And my wife was still one of those like, come here, I don't care if you're all covered with throw up and disgusting. But that's not love. Love is when you give. Love is when you lay down yourself for someone else.
Yes.
Love is when your priority, you see somebody on the side of the street and their car is broken down and you pull over to help them. That's love. You don't have to be tender and sweet and give them a hug when you're over there. That's not love. It's the fact that you laid your time down to help their time. You laid yourself down to help them. In a marriage, when you laid your dreams down or your wants or your hopes or part of who you are for that other person, that's love. It's not the hugs and the kisses and the romance. And I'm not saying those things aren't important. I'm saying they're not love. That's not what love is. I know that because you can feel angry at somebody that you love and still lay yourself down for them and your time down for them, even though you're upset at them.
Yep.
You're still with them.
Yep. Come on.
You didn't just leave and abandon them.
That's
you're still
right.
Giving your time with them.
Come on.
That's love. That's not the emotions. But when you have an emotional, you're not going to, you ever seen somebody do this? I've watched couples literally do this, but I've been counseling couples for many years and who knows how many hundreds of people I've sat there with. If you see them and you got this couple that's upset at each other and they do that kiss, that's like, yeah, we still love each other, kiss, and it's immediate turn away and both of them didn't want to even hit the lips. They both were hoping for a cheek or something like that kind of like, I'm upset at you. Like, yeah, you know, the pat, not even the hug, but the pat. Like, yeah, I love you, pat, pat, pat. I want to keep you if I could. That's when you have an emotional rift going on. You have to deal with those. The emotions are important, but they're not love. It's not what we're talking about this morning. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, this is where we're going to go this morning as we get into the Word of God. And we're going to read this. We're going to go back to verse 1. Why start in 4 when we can start in the beginning? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Now, if you've ever had, I've been a drummer, For years in the church, up at my father's church, I played drums for years because they lost the drummer. I loved the clanging cymbal. The clanging cymbal was loud. And when everybody else wanted to calm down, I'd be like, if I hit these cymbals, you're going to have to come right back up to my level because it's going to be too loud. Like, here we go. But if you have a clanging cymbal, like if you give your kid a violin, for instance, and I want to teach you violin, I'm going to help you learn violin. Here you go. And you have them start playing that. That's your clanging cymbal. That's what this means. You are not, nobody wants to hear what it is you're saying. We all want you to learn violin, but we don't want to hear you learning violin. We want you to learn the trumpet, but we don't want to hear you learning the trumpet. Like, we want you to know how to play it. Oh, if you could play it, beautiful sounds, I want to hear it. But I don't want to hear, bap, bap, like, right?
Yeah.
This is what it's talking about. So it doesn't matter. This is saying, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels. In other words, glossolalia, like speaking in tongues and speaking with tongues of men. In other words, you have the ability to talk. It isn't because you're mute. It isn't because you don't have the ability to speak. But you don't have love. All of a sudden, you're this obnoxious sound. You see, it can turn something that's good into something that's obnoxious just by that act right there. And though I have the gift of prophecy, say gift.
Yes.
It's a gift of prophecy. And understand all the mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Whoa. What about how important we nowadays, we look at people that have this kind of faith or we look at ministers and people that are preachers and people that have churches and we look at them and we think, whoa, this person has such great faith or look, this person prophesied and it's exactly what they said. But this is saying, if you don't have love when you're doing it. My mom used to say to me, if you don't have faith and love for somebody, you can't work with them, you can't help them, you can do nothing good for them. You have to believe that they can change, believe good things can come, and you have to have love for them. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. You get zero gain. Why does this matter? Well, I'm glad you asked. That was a great question. It's because if you sow into the kingdom and you're not seeing a fruit come up because of your seed that's going in, the chances are it's because you don't have love. If you're over here prophesying for God, speaking for God, traveling for God, or sowing to the poor for God and giving your time to others for God and putting seed in the ground for God and you're saying, I want to follow God and here I am and I'm able to speak and I pray in tongues, guys, they listen, I'm Holy Ghost filled, and you go after all this list, you have zero gain. You're annoying to people, and you've profited yourself nothing if you've done all that without love. This is a lot of times the problem people have. We try to do something in God. We try to get somewhere in God, but we're not achieving it because we don't actually have love for that thing we're talking about. You don't know how many times I've went to people and said, well, you're missing this in your life, and they say, no, I do that. And I know right away they're doing the act and they missed the point of what I'm saying. And I said this to Alex the other day. I said in Psalms 119, 165, it says that great peace have they that love the law. And that means that the people that are in the Bible are going to have great peace. That means they're not going to be very stressed out people. It also means that they're not going to be easily offended, it says there in that same verse. And there will not be a stumbling block set there before them in that same verse. But it's not people who read the law. It's not people who read the Bible. It's people that love the law.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Do you see, this is the thing. People, I go to people and I say, you're not getting enough word in. Oh, I read word every day. Oh, you read word every day. But I said, love the law. That's what the verse and the word of God says. Do you love the law? Not did you read the law. Did you love the law? Do you love the law of God?
Come on.
Oh, well, preacher, what does that mean? I told you what love is. It's the action, right? It's not the emotion. It's not the, I just want to sit here. I love the Bible so much. I want to hug it. The emotions are so strong whenever I come to the Word. It's not the emotion, guys. It's the laying down of yourself for. It's when you put yourself down here and you lift this up and you go, I'll obey. That's why obedience is so strong. I was saying this last night when we were sitting there talking. I said, obedience is the point. Obedience is the point, not the result of the obedience. Obedience itself. Because it's also the sign to all the unbelievers, our obedience. Why would you obey? Because I choose to.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody can make me. Nobody can make me. That's why I don't give orders to people. Do this, do this, do this. Because I'm not going to order you. I'm going to give you opportunity. You decide. You decide, because I won't make you. God won't make you. Anybody who thinks he will, then explain why someone can backslide and get in the world and get filthy and get messy. Explain why any of you could go out today and go backslide and mess around with filth in the world. God won't make you. And this is, why do people go out there and why are atheists even able to exist? Because God's only there for people seeking him. The moment you stop seeking him, you don't even see he's there. And you'll start believing anybody who says he isn't, and you'll start tempting him. You know, if there's a God, and you'll tempt God, and look, see, nothing happened. It's because he's only there for those seeking him. There's a law in place. You have to knock for it to be open. You have to seek if you're going to find. If you're not seeking, you will not find, and you will be blind to it. And all of us who seek will find him. We'll see him. We'll feel. We'll know. But the moment you stop seeking, you'll start to believe the backwash of the world. Now, this is something that I love this part. This is something that my mother made a song of when I was young, and she would sing it. But I remember it that way, but I love this verse. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not carry envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. This is a big one for, you know, a lot of us. That love can't do that. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. It can endure all things. Love never fails. This is the power of love. This is what love does. Now ask me, why is this important to us? Because when you lay yourself down for someone else, for something else, for God, when you lay yourself down, it cannot fail. It will bear all things. When you're having a problem bearing something and you show love, you will be able to bear things. And I just can't take it anymore. Why don't you give it yourself and lay yourself down? That person's bothering me so much, I can't stand them. Why don't you love them? Give it yourself a little bit for them. Lay yourself down. Stop being so puffed up. It says you're not supposed to be puffed up if you have love. Lay yourself down a little bit and see if all of a sudden you can't bear that thing easily. Because you can bear all things. You will never fail with love. More importantly, love doesn't just work on you when you function in love. It works on others. Let me say that again. It doesn't just function on you. It functions in others. So I'm having difficulty with this person. Show them love. It will break their barriers down, and they'll start being able to bear you better. They'll start being able to see things different in you. They'll start having kindness. They'll start having goodness because love works going out from you and has a result in them. If it did not, then why did God so love the world to save the world by giving his son? Why would God sow Jesus, his son, to the world if the effect of love isn't from here out to have an effect in others? Love has an effect in others, and it plants these fruits in other people's lives when you function in love, and it will plant them in you when you do not yet feel them.
Come on.
You hear what I'm saying? Lust is directed inwards. Love is directed outwards. Lust is, I want to me, give me, sacrifice for me, lay yourself down for me. And love is directed outwards. Let me do that for you. And love has the fruit where on other people it will cause the same result. This is what love does. That it puts hope into things. It puts hope back into you. How can that happen? Because the Bible says it. It hopes all things. I lost hope in this, Pastor. Why don't you start showing love? Why don't you lay yourself down? Why don't you lower yourself down? Why don't you give of yourself into? Well, how will that help? Because you'll get hope again. It hopes all things. Oh, that person's lost hope in me. Why don't you start loving them? If you lay yourself down for them, if you sacrifice out of yourself for them, it will put hope into them and they'll hope all things. I don't know if I'll be able to make it. Endures all things.
Come on.
I'm telling you, this is the reason why you see people that are trying to function as Christians and not succeeding, because they're the clanging gong, they're the noisy cymbal, they're that loud brass. They're that annoying sound because they don't have love with what they're doing. They have lust. They want for themselves. Give me, help me, change me, fill me. If you were to monitor most Christians' prayers, this is what you would hear. God, help me, give me, do for me. Not help so-and-so, not give to so-and-so, not bless so-and-so. Most of it's for us. And that's why most Christians have an issue, because we want our banks filled. We don't want God to flow through us the money. We want God to flow to us the money. You know, we don't want to be able to sow it. We want to be able to get it. It says in verse 13, out of these three things, and these are big in church, how much are you going to hear about faith? You think you're going to hear about faith preached? Oh, yeah, you are. Faith you're going to hear about all the time. Faith, hope, and love. These are the three things that abide. And the greatest of these three things is love. That's what it says in verse 13. Faith, hope, and love. And we put love in the back burner like it's just the emotional thing. When you think of love, you think of a Valentine's Day special, some kind of a red heart routine, things like that. You think of that. That's not the way we're supposed to think of it. That's not the way we're supposed to think of it. That's not what love is. Love is laying down of yourself for others. Love acts. And most importantly, if you wanted to phrase it super simple to understand, love gives. For God so loved the world that he gave. Love gives. It will give of yourself for someone else. The moment you stop doing that, you've stopped love. And I promise you, you'll stop being able to endure. You'll stop being able to bear. You'll stop being able to hope. You'll stop. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is the way it functions. Well, you don't understand what my life's like. Yeah, I do. I live one of those too. You don't see what the picture of my marriage is like. Yeah, I do. I'm married too. You don't know what my personal relationships are like. You don't know what my finances are like. Love, this is the way that your life can be, okay? So that you understand, this is the way your life can be. Your life can look like, you ever seen a package of Legos, like a little box of Legos? They have a little picture on the box. You see a spaceship or a lightsabers, you know, wielding Star Wars guys or, you know, cars or a little town. Or you ever seen a puzzle? Like a puzzle box, they have those a lot of places. You see this cool picture, and they put the picture right on the box, so I still don't know why people mess around putting the thing together. Just put the box on the wall and be like, look, I saved, this is the proof I saved hours and hours of time. Look, the picture's already right there. But you ever seen one of those? You ever taken a puzzle box where it's like 3,000 pieces, and you're like, yeah, this is going to be cool, and you tip it over on the table, and you're like, good God. Like, there's not even a whole face in here. There's five of these pieces make a face. Right? You see the box and you're like, this is what it said I was going to get. This is what I got. This is the way life is. Life is like getting a puzzle box or Legos. You ever gotten Legos as a kid and you're like, I got a spaceship, and you take it home and you dump it out and you're like, I didn't get a spaceship. I got broken Legos. Did everybody see all my giant broken pile of Legos? Like, there's just a million pieces. This is no spaceship here. Like, I can't fly with this little piece. Like, that's the way that life can be. It doesn't look like the picture on the box. You pictured it being different. You hoped it'd be different. God's promise to you seemed different. But you see, to package the big promise he has for your life inside of you, he had to break it down into pieces and wait for you to put the pieces together into the picture, into the promise. He packaged your promise in these little pieces so it could fit in your life. And you have to make room and show love to put those pieces together. So your life may look like a bunch of little puzzle pieces that don't make a picture. Your life may look like a bunch of little Legos that don't look like what you pictured on the box. That's not what I thought I was getting into, but if you don't put the work in, if you don't go through the process, your promise is never going to become evident. It's just going to look like pieces of this puzzle. It doesn't make sense. Well, this is a gray one. I got another blue one. My marriage seems a little bit rough. This doesn't look like the picture. Pastor, it's not what I pictured. Look at this. Well, you don't see the promise anymore. You lost sight of the whole goal that God has for you. You're not going through a process to turn those pieces into the promise. That's God's destination for you. But if you give up with the pieces, all you're going to have is another puzzle in a drawer. Do you see what I'm saying? This is why love is so important. If you're not willing to put the time in, if you're not willing to go through the process, you will never see the picture that God has for you. You'll never see the starship out of Legos. You'll just see the broken pile, a mess that seems disappointing. I didn't even get what you wanted me to get, God. This is why love is so important, guys, because you can't go through life going, oh, I'm just going to have this great peace. God's going to give me peace. I won't be easily offended by people. Because the Bible says it right there in Psalms 119. It says it. I'm not going to be easily offended. I'm going to have great peace. I won't easily stumble. There won't be stumbling blocks set there for me. Well, why? Because I love the law. Oh, that's right. But without love, without you giving of yourself, love gives. Without you doing that, you will not have success. Do you hear what I'm saying? You will not have success even in these things of God. I preached on last week how important contentment is. And what people don't think about with Israel is, and I love this, go read it for yourselves, but when you go to Israel's journey and you see them coming out of the Exodus and they've left Egypt and they've plundered and they have all of the gold, they have the gold of Egypt with them. And they go out and God starts to give them rules and God starts to give them direction and God starts to give them the orders and the laws that we know of Judaism, he starts to give them, right? And you see him form the laws and the direction for this people. He crosses them across the Red Sea. You know why he does this? Do you remember? Because they were too afraid to fight the enemy up there. He knew that. He said, if they were to fight them, they might get afraid and turn back and go to Egypt. So I'm going to have to drown the army of Egypt in that river. We're going to have to take them across, and I got to get them where they can't return. I'm going to close that door of water behind them. No more going there. Right? This is what God had to do. Then they get out in the wilderness, and they're walking and marching, and we're out in the dust bowl, and we're going to chase the pillar, and we're going to chase the pillar, and we're going to chase the pillar. And he starts to orchestrate, here's the tabernacle, and here's the, this is the laws, and this is the rules, and here's what you do. And he gives them order. And the cool part, guys, is they have hope, and then they lose hope. Then they have hope, then they lose hope. Then they have hope, and they lose hope. How are they losing hope? Because they lost love. Love hopes all things. You see, that's why I said last week how important it is to have contentment, because you have to be happy with what God's given you, but you have to be ready for the next thing he's calling you. This is the way that love is supposed to function in your life. Happy with what you have, but ready for the next step in marching towards that goal. Follow the cloud when God moves, but sit still when he sits over the tabernacle. This is the whole point. What we don't think about sometimes is Israel came, do you know this? They came over more than one battle where they overcame a kingdom on their way to the promised land. Do you know that?
Yeah.
And do you know that it was the time that they came and they stopped being content, they started being complacent when they said, this place is good for animals. Can we stay here and not go to the promised land? That's when God said, surely everybody over the age of 20 will not see the promised land. Do you know that? It's because instead of content with what God had, they found a place that seemed comfortable enough to have all the things they already have. We have the wealth of Egypt. This is great for our sheep. We have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of sheep just from one of the battles. Almost 700,000 sheep from one battle. What I'm saying is they were ready to fight people until they put that quit in them and got complacent. And they said, I'm willing to sit here. I'm willing to go here. I'm not willing to give myself anymore. And they lost hope for the next step. And they just said, let's settle. You see, there's still people out there trying to find Mr. or Mrs. Right. I want to find Mr. and Mrs. Right. I have news for you. Try being Mr. or Mrs.
Right.
Stop trying to find Mr. and Mrs. Right. Start trying to become Mr. or Mrs. Right. You need to realize that that's how you show real love. Why don't you start disciplining you and get you into some shape that's worth being around somebody else so that you can be the right person, not try to find the right person. God will bring the right person to you. But if all you're doing is constantly trying to find something, is there love in that? There's confusion in that. There's a feeling of loss in that. Hey, you might find something and it might not be good. You find a godly woman, you found a good thing. I'm speaking to the guys because I don't have the other perspective. I didn't have both sides of that picture. I only know what it's like to be on the guy's side. But you find a not godly woman, oh, you did not find a good thing. You found an anchor. You found a gong. The Bible says it's better that you go hide in the corner of an attic than be in a house with a contentious woman. If you want to find somebody who's argumentative and contentious, go hide in the rafters because that's where you're going to want to be. Most guys do this anyway. Their rafters are the garage. What are you doing? I'm working out in the garage again. What are you working on? I don't care. I'm working on not having another argument. You know, that's what I'm working on today. I'm busy on this, not having another argument moment right now. This is one of the things that we don't realize. If you don't start right now in your life caring about the things God cares about, you will never love the things God loves. You'll never have the fruit of the things God's trying to give you fruit of. You will not have the great gain that the Bible says when accompanied with contentment, because you can't be content, because you can't have hope without love. You hear what I'm saying? You can't have hope without love. If you lose this ability to lay yourself down for another, care about another. You know, I was telling Ernesto this. I had no plans to mention it, but I was telling him this just the other night when we were there. I said, when you realize that God loves that person as much as he loves you, this is the way God's love is. We think God's love is based on our actions, that we deserve it. You don't deserve it. He gives his love to all of us. You can look and say, well, that Muslim guy over there, you know, they're against God. He hates those people. Well, I have bad news for you. Because Jesus died on the cross and he covered sin, God loves that person as much as he loves you. but I'm a Christian. No, the only difference is your destination. That guy's going to hell and you're going to heaven, but God still loves you both. That's not possible. What about that murderer over there or that rapist? Do you remember Moses was a murderer? Did you forget that? He was a from nowhere nobody who had made such big mistakes that he should have been killed. That was Moses, one of the great leaders that if you go over to Israel today, all you have to mention as a Christian, I've done this, I've been there. You just mention Abraham or Moses and they're like, oh yeah. As a matter of fact, you want the trifecta? I'll give it to you. Abraham, Moses, and guess what? David. You mention those three over there, and it's the highlight reel. They still, to this day, are murderer. Come on. Why? Because God redeems, guys. Who cares what you've been through? Who cares what you've done? That's not the point of love. Love is, what are you going to do? Not what have you done. Love is, what will you do now? You can't lay yourself down in the past. You know, you're his father, so you have a history, a past. You were there when he was this big, not this big. So any myriad of mistakes you made as a father, can you go back and change them? No, you cannot. It doesn't matter. You could sit there all day today and be like, I wish I hadn't done this, or I wish I had changed this, or I wish I had made him do this. You know, he could have been an artist if I'd given him paintbrushes, or he could have been, you could think a lot of things, but you can't ever go back and change it. But you can only change what you do going forwards. Love can only function coming out of you, and love can only function going forwards. You can't go back and have shown love where you should have. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Come on. Love isn't going to be sitting there filled with regrets, is what I'm saying. Yeah. Love isn't going to sit there filled with hurts and with pains. That's not how love functions. Love can hope beyond that. Love can endure beyond that. Yeah. Love can bear beyond that. You hear what I'm saying? This is important for us because if you do not do this, if you don't start functioning by laying yourself down, you will fail at getting the things out of God that you're supposed to. You will fail at going and getting the successes in your life. You can go out there prophesying for God, and you can go out there giving to the poor for God, and you can go out there traveling. I've been around the globe for God. You can go out there to missions fields for God. You can go out there and see the numbers and say, we got 400 people saved today. We got 900 people saved today. I've been there. I've had the testimony, hey, 400 kids got saved today in college when I went and did this. That's great. But what about your soul forever with God? Because if you don't have love, it's profiting you nothing. Do you hear what I'm saying? But I did all these actions. Yes. Or the people that are going to go to the kingdom and say, but Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and cast out demons? He's going to say, depart from me, you accursed, I never knew you. It's going to be people that say, when did we help you, Lord? When did we love you? And he's going to say, all these little ones that you helped. How are you going to give clothes to the people that are naked if you didn't sacrifice yourself to give them that clothes? Yeah. How are you going to feed the people that are hungry if you didn't sacrifice yourself to feed them? Mm-hmm. Is when we show love to other people, when you start recognizing, you know, Ernesto, we need you, so we love you. You know, we prayed this morning for the people from the church that are up in the north. Why do we do that? Because we need them. Not to fill seats. You know, it's nice. Crowd that we have right now is great. You know, I've preached to thousands. I can preach to, you know, 10. It's because we need them. And if you treat them like we don't need them, then you're not showing love. If you act like I don't need that other person, you know, you were mentioning like that guy that pulled next to you. We actually need that guy. And when we start to function in love, it breaks down the walls in our own life. And all of a sudden we can hope things we could never hope. We'll believe a thing we could never believe. And more importantly, they'll start believing something they could never believe. The other people you see, you know, you go to the grocery store, you go to the gas station, they'll start seeing and believing what they couldn't. That's why I tell people, you got to believe that you are being used by God everywhere you go. I tell people, I'm a divine appointment waiting to happen for your life. Where I go, so is God going. I'm a divine appointment. So when you see me coming, so is an appointment with God. And if all you want to do is talk about, you know, cars, let's talk about cars. And I told Miguel this. I said, the first words out of your mouth when you come see me should be, is God saying anything for me today? Because if it's not, we can talk about the other stuff. I'm happy. Let's do it. I'll go car shopping. But if you don't put God first, you're not giving God even a chance to have a supernatural event for your life. What you're doing is just making it all about the situation of your life, and that's not love, is it? When it becomes about you, it's not about others, which means there's no love there. It doesn't mean God won't work on you. The cool part about God is he said he'll add all the other things to you, right? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this morning, for your word. Let it go into us that we need to show love for others, that we need to sow love to others, that we need to lay ourselves down for others. God, as many times as we've been battling a hope or a dream or a want or desire, God, as many times as we've been battling a fear or what feels like a lost situation, we have a problem believing that there's going to be something coming. God, as many times as we feel like we may not make it, we can't endure to the end of it. We don't know that we're going to be able to succeed all the way to the point. I don't know how long I can take this happening in my relationship. I don't know how long I can take this happening with my finances. Let it get into our souls, our hearts, our spirits today, that with love we can endure all things, we can hope all things, we can believe all things, and we cannot fail. Anytime we lay ourselves down, we are not laying ourselves down to fail, we are laying ourselves down to succeed. God, don't let us believe the garbage of the world that pretends you have to step on people's heads to get ahead. Help us to be better at serving than that. Help us be better at helping than that. God, help us to show love. You cared about us so much you gave your own son. Help us to care enough about one another to give up some of our time. Help us to care enough about one another that we don't just bypass the person or get angry and hate them. Instead, we can show love. We can turn our spirit person on and activate the power of love in our lives and on them. Help us to spread you. Lord, the word says you are love. It says God is love. God, help us to do that. You loved and you gave. Help us to love and to give in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Miguel, I'm going to have you do an offering, but I want to pray for Nelson's trip before he goes. I know you're going to be taking a trip and going down, and we've been praying for you. Now I have you here. I want to pray for you now. So stand up for a minute. I want to pray for you with you. Lord Jesus, I pray for Nelson right now, God, for his trip, for the journey that you have before him, not just for the travels here, God, but for the days in front of him.
Yes.
God, in the moments when he's alone, help him to know he's never alone. In the moments when he's battling in his body, God, bring health and bring wholeness into him. Don't let the worries and the concerns of the health issues worry him and bother him and torment him and plague his mind anymore. God, give him peace about it. You're the healer, Lord Jesus, and we pray that covenant over him. We can have great peace in you, knowing you are the healer. And I pray that you watch over him as he travels, send angels before him. That we claim the word that he'll be blessed going and coming, blessed in the cities and countries. God, let peace rest on him, and let these days going forward have an effect on the planet. Let him be able to spread you to the people around him and have an influence for you and the people around him about you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for him. We pray that you bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.